morning and welcome to a belated session of the Joint Committee on Waverly Natural Resources.
Belated?
Today we have a public hearing and work session on House Bill 3225. We also are scheduled for a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 5549. Mr. Rocco, House Bill 3225 is on the agenda. Anything for the good of the order?
Well, Mr. Chair, I provided committee members with four items for today's discussion. There's a memo regarding the leadership plan for net allocation of emergency resources. There are some proposed amendments to House Bill 3225, and then a memo and an accompanying spreadsheet that describes the proposed budget for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which will be included in Senate Bill 5549. I think what we should probably do is discuss the allocation of the resources first, and then I can explain what the proposal is for House Bill 3225.
I'll see that, Mr. Rocco, and we'll go ahead and have that explanation right now.
The memo regarding the leadership plan has some sheets on it that describe the leadership plan in comparison with the governor's plan for Measure 66 resources. The committee had discussions about including the allocation of those resources in House Bill 3225. However, the decision has been made that this perhaps would be better served in the OWEB budget bill, which would allow House Bill 3225 to go forward as a substantive bill that establishes the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and takes care of the distribution of the resources identified in Measure 66. On the first page of the memo, there's a description of the total available resources under Measure 66. And the latest forecast indicates there's $43.45 million available. The difference between the legislative and governor's total is simply due to a revised forecast figure that the governor wasn't able to use when that plan was developed. You'll note that there's a difference in the backfill amount. The governor had planned to backfill $8.6 million, and the legislative plan assumes a backfill of about $14.85 million. And this provides new resources of about $28.6 million on the legislative plan. Following that is a description of where the backfill would occur. Under the governor's plan, it would come from the grant base of the governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, and the legislative plan includes that backfill and then adds additional backfill for state police, Oregon plan positions. These are fish and game officers that were approved and funded with general fund last session. Oregon plan state police vehicle expenditures of about $500,000. And then the three components of the GWEB program that are part of the base, which includes the GWEB base positions, plan positions approved as part of the Oregon plan last session, and then the GWEB program manager that was an employee of the Department of Agriculture and was eliminated from the Department of Ag's budget earlier by the subcommittee. And then finally, the Fish and Wildlife Oregon Plan positions that were approved last session in the bill creating the Oregon Plan.
So the entire backfill, other than the ones that were already proposed by the governor, in the legislative budget were either for GWEB authorized positions that are connected to the Oregon plan or Oregon plan law enforcement equipment and planning.
That's correct, Mr.
Chair. Question or simple?
I understand there's a lot of debate arguing over backfill, but I do feel compelled to speak up on behalf of the characterization of the Oregon State Police backfill issue, that those positions were not funded in the last legislative session. And so in my mind, those were actually new funds, even though those positions used to be forced, they were not spent before.
Since your point told me they are, in fact, they were not funded in the last budget. They are additions. Nonetheless, we are characterizing them as backfill. Mr. Rocca, did you have a comment?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to clarify. Last session in the Oregon plan, the state police were given 13 positions that were funded with general fund and directed to be used for Oregon plan-related activities. And this is the amount of money that would pay for those positions this time. Instead of using general fund, the proposal is to use some of the 66 lobby funds, and that is why it's being characterized as backfill.
Thank you. You said it much better
than I understand that those positions were transferred, from positions that had been with the highway department. They reduced the highway department positions in order to make those positions available, and that's why I had,
Very nice
statement, as I did.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Tino.
Could you have a little explanation of the GWEB program manager? What was that again?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tino, the GWEB program manager was a position that was funded through the Department of Agriculture, but served as the program director for the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board, which was a part of the Water Resources Department and operated out of the Governor's Natural Resource Office.
Is that eliminated from the prior budget?
In the Department of Ag budget, that program manager position was eliminated with the anticipation that it would be funded with Measure 66 lottery funds as part of the new Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board.
Thank you. Sure. And my colleagues, by creating the OWEB, we've moved people from three or four different agencies under that umbrella, and then we'll have better accountability. People will be able to track the expenditures and see where the people are working. Representative Johnson, any questions?
Back to Representative King's question on the 13 positions. Were those all highway positions, or were some of those the positions that came out of Eastern Oregon in game or important?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I believe the bulk of those positions were fish and game officers that were either created or moved from other areas of the state and directed to be used for Oregon plan activities.
But at least some of them, if not all of them, were not, or were from fish and game rather than from other positions.
And you remember the Hartford Map 5 grant when it was many of the fish and game enforcement officers were moved for the Oregon Fund of the Game.
Still for us to start grant that way.
Right. And I think, correct, that was my memory was in the end of the
thank you, Mr. Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I was on the Oregon State Police. Does this then fill all of the positions that are needed within game type operation?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, not quite, and we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Shall we proceed?
One more question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The and I had a note to Mr. Rockwell on this question, but on the ODF&W Oregon plan positions, the $2.5 million there that I think that had been in their general fund before, and now we're showing that as funding from Measure 66, does that mean that we're eliminating the 2.5 from general fund for the ODF&W, or does that $2.5 million stay there and help reduce their shortfall?
Mr. Chair, Representative King,
the budget.
The intention is for the backfill, the amount of the backfill is needed to balance the co-chair's budget. So that money would not be retained at this point. It would not be retained in the Department of Fish and Wildlife budget unless an alternative plan is developed for that budget. And since we haven't looked at quite yet, at this point it would not be included.
And Representative, you'll find that the standard answer is that when
funds come out of a budget, they don't generally go directly to another budget. They always go to the co-chair's agenda.
Just a little clarification, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the next page of the memo describes the type of backfill, measure 66 limit, which have been adjusted on the governor's side just to come up with the same total. And those limits are based on the 35%, 65% split between operating and capital. And the estimated amount of new resource available under either plan. On the next page, there's a detailed list of where the new resource for the operating expenditures are being proposed to be used, and alongside the proposal of the governor's use of the new resources available under the governor's plan.
And Mr. Chair,
question or something?
I get a little nervous that the new resources adjective there. I don't think there are any new resources. I think it's a redefined source. It's not your money.
Okay. Senator Connor.
Mr. Chair, I'd like you to direct your attention to the DSL Natural Heritage Data portion of the this particular budget page. And you may recall we had a bill in our committee that dealt with aquatic species and weed control and that sort of thing. And I would hope that somebody would get some help in dealing with that issue. I don't kind of see that the funds have been removed from Natural Heritage Data line item, but I wonder if there's somebody who can take a look at that.
Senator Toronto, I think the theory here is that many of the prioritizations that need to be made with the full participation of the OEB board. And so we've done everything we can to try and keep the resources available with the maximum flexibility. And if Mr. Ocker goes forward, I think they'll see that there are opportunities to revisit issues like the natural heritage data question. But let's go all the way through this and we'll come back to that issue.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to put a clarification on that. Isn't it true that there's total about $1.5 million in the weed control? And I thought that the weed control also included the aquatic reach.
Respectfully, there is about $1.5 million available, and there's about $400,000 plus available for aquatic leaves. That's where the breakout happens in the Department of Agriculture budget. So, but the natural heritage data system that we're referring to has to do with mapping and classification and zones and some other database management, not only having to do with weeds, but having to do with native species and invasive species. So there's more to the data in the natural heritage data space. Shall we proceed?
And, Mr. Chair, there's a more detailed list of the legislatively proposed allocation of resources in the last page of this. But the following page just provides an overview of the capital expenditure portion of it, and then a summary at the bottom of what funds have been identified for use proposed in the legislative plan. Basically, all of the operating funds have been proposed for allocation, and about $1.7 million of the total grant fund has been identified for use in the legislative plan. And then the final page of this memo just provides a detailed listing of the amounts that are proposed to be provided to agencies and to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board by operating and by capital with no regard for backfill. This is just a list of how the allocation is proposed to be accomplished.
I think the key features here is that there's a lot of detail here, so I think our LFO should be commended. Ken Rocco should be commended for bringing this level of detail forward. I know there's an awful lot of questions about how this money is going to be allocated. And what we tried to do in this allocation was be very cognizant of the backfill issue, because we know that it's a sensitive issue. We stayed within about $6 million, I believe, of the governor's proposal on backfill. Ours is a little higher, because it does include some of the OEB and GWEB positions that were not in the governor's features. They also include some law enforcement issues that were not in the governor's budget. I think, and we think it's fully appropriate for expenditure of measure $66 in this way.
The other thing I think is if you look at the capital outlay, the legislature essentially allocated less capital outlay than the governor's proposal. We come obviously to the same total amount, but we have a little more available in the uncommitted grant funds, meaning that we also are very cognizant of the idea that the watershed councils, the water conservation districts, and other citizens and interest groups and participants in the Oregon plan expected there to be a large source of new money available for projects. And we wanted to make sure that we had the maximum available for projects. So great pains have been made to put nearly $27 million into the OWEB's authority so that they have new money and we hope sufficient money for the biennium to fund the grant applications that they're going to be receiving. I think this budget represents as much as possible the expression of the desire of Oregonians to see reliable source of funding for grant programs, prudent spending in terms of administration for projects directly related to wildlife and watershed enhancements, and we hope that this budget provides the tools that we need to do the riparian and the upland and watershed and wildlife habitat improvements that are directed by the constitutional amendment in Measure 66.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rocca, do we have any indication? The last I heard, we might expect about $20 million coming from the federal government. Do you have any indication whether that would go through the OWEB, what kind of strings or requirements or with come with those funds? And where do we, would that be handled through the E-Board run that funding provides?
Mr. Chair, that's where it would be my understanding that the funds would likely go through over the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and would be subject to emergency board a report and then a request for additional expenditure limitations. However, I am not sure of the likelihood of receiving those funds. The last I heard, they are in being questioned somewhat, but perhaps Mr. Beerley, if he's here, could answer your question better about the likelihood of those being received.
It really is moving toward the podium.
For the record, Ken Dearling with the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board. I'm sorry if after July 1st, but with the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Actually, I don't have a job, so I can do what I would like to answer directly Representative Messerly's questions. To the extent of our knowledge, the discussion about Pacific Salmon Fund is still going forward. It will take congressional action, and congressional action is not a sure thing by any bet. Our only hope is that it is tied to the Pacific Salmon Treaty with Canada, which may make it more of a enticement for the federal government to invest in that regard. But at this point in time, my personal bet is about 50-50. So I'm not going to spend that money until I see it. Would I have the opportunity to speak on to the bill and to the fiscal, the distribution at this point in time?
If you have something to offer, you may as well offer it now because you're up there.
A copy of the want ads from the Oregonian.
Can you go get them? They're looking for a confidence
counter in Saturday. Just resume. Oh.
Senator Farioli, I recognize your characterization of the budget as one that was put together with great deliberation. And as you are aware, being involved in the interim with the Joint Legislative Committee on Salmon and Stream Enhancement, there was a great deal of discussion about the allocation of funds from the then Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board. And I'd like to raise two issues that I think are very critical, that cut to not just balancing the numbers, but how you invest resources for best results. We have been criticized for conducting random acts of kindness on the landscape by distributing grants without a strategic plan. There is a policy direction in Senate Bill, or in House Bill 3225, that directs the development of regional goals and priorities. We have a strategic direction pushing watershed councils, soil and water conservation districts to conduct watershed assessments to develop priorities for doing the most rational thing and the most effective thing first rather than the easiest thing first. With this budget, we see no funds for conducting monitoring to determine baseline conditions, to conduct watershed assessments, to conduct outreach efforts to engage people. Failure of having those kinds of resources available will force us to continue to invest in projects on an opportunistic basis. And if we could work in some way together to jointly put together an investment fund on the operating side, it will be critical to invest in those resources at the local level that will allow people to make informed decisions about the most appropriate investment of project dollars. And it is that area that I have greatest concern about how the budget package has been put together. We need to consider how local decisions are made, and there is a great deal of pressure coming from both the federal government, but also from the state to try to address resources and resource restoration in the most effective manner. But we're not giving any resources to investing in that purpose through the grant program. I think that we need to engage in that discussion. Look at some of the backfill options so that we might be able to make some trade-offs there.
Billy, I think your comments are well made. I'll give you a quick response. The question and the discussion about random acts of kindness, I think, were never really intended to be a criticism against OWEB or even the federal agencies, although some of their acts I don't think were kindness so much as they were random. But an admonition to each other not to engage in a rudderless navigation in this issue, that accountability had to be built into the process, that the constraints of Measure 66 had to be observed constitutionally and also in terms of discussions about definition and of the final understanding about how the percentages have to play themselves out. The intention to deal with avoiding falling into the trap of creating random acts of kindness, I think, expresses itself in the rather large allocation that we have to grant projects. We fully expect officially that the goal of OWEB would be to follow its charge, which is to create some templates and to create some formulas and to create some dialogue between the board itself and the watershed councils and soil water conservation districts about monitoring, about the kind of things that you're describing as a framework that gives priority and different weighting to the projects that will come in to OWEB as it does its job. I agree that monitoring, and I agree that a scientific approach and the necessity of prioritization are all key to the success of the Oregon Plan. That will happen in an interactive process between OWEB and the Oversight Committee. Those things are meant to happen at that level.
I understand those interactions. The issue we have is that with the definition of capital expenditure in 3225, all those types of activities are related to a project. And there is no way to develop a strategy on a watershed basis. There's no way to invest in the opportunity for a watershed council to conduct an assessment, figure out what would be the best project. given the current budget.
Okay. I think we're going to have some discussion because I see lots of opportunity for projects on a basin-wide approach that connect different watershed councils, soil water conservation districts, and other interested parties to do exactly the kind of monitoring you're discussing. It's not going to be...
It's very clear we have a very different perspective here because looking at the language of the statute and knowing how watershed councils and districts function together, I see the potential for major dysfunction here with this proposed budget.
Mr. Shirley, is there anything in the measure or the constitutional amendment of Senate Bill 3225 that precludes a collaborative approach between watershed councils on basin-wide monitoring projects?
Senator Perry, the issue is not the legal structure. The issue is the investment strategy that the legislature is proposing in this budget, and that there is no funding for capital or for operating grants to watershed councils in the proposed budget.
Okay. I think what we need to do then is go immediately to Senate Bill 5549, have a presentation 5549, look at how these two things interact, and perhaps some of the questions get answered in that interaction. And Mr. Verley, your comments are welcome. We may ask you to come back and give another reaction momentarily.
Please.
Thank you. Mr. Apple, let's go to Senate Bill 5549 and make a presentation of how the allocation in Senate Bill 5549 would be made according to the co-chair.
Mr. Chair, before I do that, I would like to point out that the belief that capital expenditures in House Bill 3225 only is directly related to a project is not quite correct. If you look at the previous amendments that the committee considered, where there was a change to say that capital expenditures mean direct expenses related to the restoration, enhancement, or protection of fish and wildlife habitat, watershed functions, native or mounted populations, or water quality, including but not limited to, and then there is a list of things that are related to a project, but that first part of that does not mean that a capital expenditure has to be tied to a specific project. And it is the intention of those amendments to use capital expenditure in the normal definition of capital expenditure, which is personal also includes something like personal property of a non-expendable nature that has a useful life of more than 2 years, which is what the Oregon Accounting Manual refers to. And if it needs to be clarified further, we could recommend additional language for those amendments to make that clarified.
And I think the objective here is to make sure that we don't move forward without the capability of doing basin-wide projects, monitoring projects, things that connect different scales together. So we spent an awful lot of time making sure monitoring was part of the approvable expenditure under the 55% limitation. Let's move forward and maybe some of these questions get answered.
And Mr. Chair, then on Senate Bill 5549, there is a memo and a spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is basic. It's slightly misleading because it's combining GWEB with OWEB. So the columns that you see on the spreadsheet for actual expenditures for 95-97 and the LAD for 97-99, all of those columns refer to the GWEB budget, and only OWEB is listed under the FAR column 1999-01 LAD, just for your, it's really just for comparison, historical comparison purposes. On the memo, then, we've broken this down to describe the allocation of funds in Senate Bill 5549 to go along with that detailed sheet that you've seen under the legislative plan for the distribution of these resources. And going down the list is about $2.8 million for state police, for support of fish and game field officers. And this includes
in answer to Senator George's earlier question about filling the state police fish and wildlife hole, it includes the Oregon Plan base backfill that we talked about and an additional $743,000 to fund the phasing in of 14, partially fund the phasing in of 14 positions in the state police budget that were needed to bring the agency back to the CSL level. And that has already been included in the state police budget. Then there's approximately $3.87 million measure fish water funds allocated to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and this is for the Oregon Plan positions that were backfilled and the steelhead supplement positions that were in the Fish and Wildlife Package 208. The direction that the legislative leadership took on this was to try to make sure that all of the Oregon Plan positions and activities that were initiated last session were covered this time, and to make sure that all the steelhead supplement positions that were approved by the emergency board as limited duration positions and had no funding coming into this biennium were also taken care of in this proposed budget using Measure 66 resources. So you'll see several of these steelhead supplement packages included in this plan. The Department of Agriculture has $354,000 for weed control position support, and there is an omission on this table you should add to your list for the Department of Ag, that there's $2.4 million for support of the Soil and Water Conservation District. That's included in the detailed list, but it was left out of this table.
Chair Corker.
Mr. Chair, there, several of us have had concerns about the weed control aspects of the lottery funds. When you combine the operations, $354,000, and on the next page, the project grant fund from $1 million out of lottery funds. We've got about $1.5 million for noxious weeds. I'm very concerned that, A, we're not funding that program, maybe to answer this question, are we funding the program to the tune of $300,000, the PSU, I think it's PSU,
aquatic weed
study? Why would we be investing all this money in noxious weeds, which basically helps the grazing industry and doesn't do much for fish, unless you're talking about, you know, the Deschutes and the milfoil or whatever, and getting after some of the aquatic vegetation? Why would you bypass a project like, the aquatic weed project? I don't understand the logic in that. Can you explain that to me?
The explanation is that we have approximately $3 billion weed problem in the state of Oregon, and the issue is growing exponentially. We have underfunded weed control throughout several biennia. It has a terrible effect in riparian areas, not just for cattle grazing. As you point out, it's not a subsidy for cattle grazing, but wildlife habitats are being choked out and riparian function depressed. We have an incredible increase in the potential for a catastrophic event from wildfire in riparian areas. We've had wildlife or weed control suppressed on public lands for decades, and we've got a problem that's out of control. And this is actually probably a very small amount of investment when you look at the total size of the problem. There is no doubt that there's merit in the aquatic weed study at Portland State University. There's many meritorious actions that happen at Portland State University, which we can fund them all.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess you're kind of missing my point. I don't have any dispute with you over the noxious weed problem. I don't have any dispute over the fact that we should be spending resources to take care of it. Where I'm really stuck is, what is Measure 66 money doing in there? That, you know, I've looked at the language, it's very mushy, even in the Department of Agriculture's report on the noxious weeds. But if you look in the categories, 12 categories, 9 of those 12 categories deal directly with grazing.
deal directly with grazing. They'll have wildlife in there. You know, they're mushy. There's no question about it. But I don't have any problem with the master food. The problem I have is using this very small amount of Measure 66 money in the most effective way. And I'm very concerned that this is just becoming a Christmas tree for special interest in the building when we're not really doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is good public policy around salmon restoration. That's my concern.
I appreciate your concern. I think you focused perhaps too much on the issue of salmon restoration and haven't thought very much about wildlife restoration, which is equal in Measure 66 and in the charge that's given to the committee. And the fact is that upland game management, wildlife habitat management are all connected, and Measure 66 for appropriate expenditures in that area. So I understand you don't like the cattle industry, or maybe you think there's a problem with the cattle industry grazing, but that really isn't the issue. The issue is noxious weeds in habitat, and that's what these dollars are supposed to do.
I love the cattle industry. Representative Lundquist was always trying to sell me these three-legged cattle. He told me to go to Austin and just raise my hand whenever he told me to.
That's right.
I like hamburgers.
Just set your note.
Yeah, just set your note. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you ask the voters in your district or you ask the voters in my district what they thought the Measure 66 money was going for, and they will tell you that they thought it was going for salmon and carp.
Right, and I understand that. We've had a lot of discussion of what the voters thought, and if you want to have a longer discussion about what the voters thought, all you got to do is talk to some of the proponents that are here. They'll tell you what the voters thought and what they voted on.
Right.
The measure talks about wildlife habitat, and it's just as much terrestrial as it is aquatic.
Right, and I haven't even gotten into the discussion of backfill yet, which is why I'm focused still.
So I expected you to go off on backfill a lot earlier.
I've already done that.
Senator Corcoran, I understand you have some concerns about the allocations, and we can discuss those, what our subcommittee is all about. Representative Messerly has a question, and then Senator DeCarmen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I think we have to keep in mind that Bellamy 66 not only talks about salmon, but water quality. The whole Oregon plan is involved with the mandate from EPA and water quality. So we're not just talking about fish, although I think water quality has a lot to do with fish. And Mr. Chair, I thought when I asked the question earlier whether the $1.5 million was going to also deal with aquatic weeds, I got an affirmative answer. I think if we're dealing with water quality, to fund $300,000 of that $1.5 million to deal with aquatic weeds is very much in line with what I thought our intentions were.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, the Department of Ag proposal that was approved by the subcommittee in their budget a week or so ago did include a portion of the money for aquatic weed control.
And would that, Mr. Chair, will that preclude Portland State applying for funding to complete their study?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that was totally separate from any activity of Portland State.
But in answer to your question, Representative, Portland State, along with any other partner, can apply for any purpose under Measure 66 fund that relates to wildlife habitats or watershed management. So I don't see anything in the bill that would preclude Portland State University from seeking funding under the OEF grant process. In fact, I encourage them to make the application.
Mr. Chair, when the decision was made in that subcommittee regarding the $300,000 allocation for aquatic weed control, was it discussed as to who could apply for those funds, which agency could apply for?
My recollection is that those dollars were allocated specifically to weed control projects that had already been identified at the county level. So that there, you know, that those dollars were going specifically to address issues that had been identified. The Portland State University study is a study that is an ongoing study, and the allocation request there has to do with assessment, scoping, determination about where and when and what should be done to deal with the aquatic weed problem in the state of Oregon. And it's clearly, you know, we discussed this also with the invasive species discussion on our salmon community. We know we've got a terrible potential weed problem, and one that's possibly coming to Oregon. It could be worse than what we've ever seen.
Surely, I'm going to discuss or talk about a concern that I have, and I share the concerns you raised with Senator Corcoran, as well as Senator Messery. But I also agree that we have to deal with weed control in the state. Because I'm not aware of the problem we had with a variety of species, whether it's going to get special or the same size or whatever. But I think we also have to deal with the aquatic weed species and those issues. And I'm concerned about trying to find some sense of the problem.
So noted. And you share those concerns with Senator Cork and others. Other questions, or shall we let Sirocco complete the spreadsheet discussion? Rosemont King.
Thank you. Better timing. I can land any place in the world. Came on my chest now. We are being specific in one area in terms of weed control and saying spend the money here. And another, see one laundry list, and weed control is going to be contentious to some degree. And I think it's a great budget. The issue is how much we prioritize in what areas.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're, I think, charged in House Bill 3225 to do some things. And that we're not doing them as a part of the funding strategy we have here, i.e. leaving out the eco-regions and leaving out National Heritage Advisory Council. And in Section 13, it says that a state agency, which I believe OWEB is, cannot apply for grants unless they're accompanied by higher ed or a nonprofit or other organizations.
Portland State is a state agency and can't apply.
No, I think that higher education institutions are specifically inscribed as being eligible.
They are.
To do that, whereas state agencies are not.
That's correct.
But what I was kind of hearing in the dialogue here is, well, we've got all this money, out there that, could be for grants, so they can go apply a grant, to be doing those things. And I don't think we're right on target when we're saying in the bill that we need to be doing, specific items, i.e., in Section 5, 3, C and D, and Section 12, A and B, that are saying we need to collect the data, we need to be able to do statewide organizing and prioritizing. And so I think we're missing an obligation that, we're supposed to see that those are done, fund that those are done, oversee that they're being done, but we're not. But at the same time, we've got this laundry list of specific items that we're saying, should be done, which I think, could be done within the framework of the grant process and letting those items, stand on their own, but they're not necessarily specifically charged in the bill. That was my chime in.
And I think what we're doing in this allocation between these two bills is establishing about $27 million to be prioritized by OWEB. And certainly those dollars should be looked at in the context of the charge that's given to OWEB. OWEB is the organization, not our subcommittee that's supposed to make the a grant application process for. There are specific allocations included in the administration, and they're here to be presented and discussed before the committee. Most of the dollars that were in the 65% category are available for prioritization by OWEB. So I'm going to ask Mr. Rocco to go ahead and see if he can finish by 10 o'clock on this search. If you don't mind, Mr. Rocco.
Mr. Chair, turning to the last page. No, I'm just kidding. on the first page, the Department of Forestry has 380,000 identified for steelhead supplement support. This includes both the general fund and the lottery funds that were proposed in the governor's budget. Department of Environmental Quality, $404,000 for steelhead supplement support that was approved yesterday by the subcommittee in Package 201 in the DEC budget. And then there's identification of the amount provided to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board for staff and services and supplies, $2.3 million, which includes 13 positions, $2.4 million for local watershed council support, which is on page 2,
and $400,000 to be provided to the independent multidisciplinary science team for support of that team's activities. Under item two is the project grant fund, which identifies the $500,000 for capital expenditures for state police fish and wildlife division vehicle expenses, the Department of Ag's $1.1 million for weed control activities and grants. This is all grant money again. And then the $26.6 million for the OWEB general grant fund for capital expenditures related to Measure 66 qualifying activities.
Mr. Chair,
question?
And this gets to the what I was just addressing here. It seems like we've got a catch-22, and you know, I was just describing the sections in the bill which give us the free charge to do the oversight. It seems like what you were saying earlier is that the funds that could be available for doing that are in these capital funds, but I'm understanding that OWEB is a state agency, and that a state agency is not eligible to apply for the grant, so I'm not, it looks like a catch-22.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, these monies are going to be allocated to OWEB, and they're not going to have to apply for them. They're going to be given to OWEB and reside in one of OWEB's funds, the Watershed Improvement Grant Fund, and OWEB will decide whether or not to approve applications for these funds from other entities.
So the entire 26 is not part of the grant process,
then. The entire $26 million would be part of the OWEB grant process, but they would not have to apply for any grants. State agencies, if they wanted to apply for a grant, would need to get a local partner of some type based on the language in House Bill 3225 and go to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board for approval of their application.
So then I'm now starting to understand that we're not stating what goes into the grants. We're only stating what goes to OWEB, and OWEB decides how much to put in the grant process?
Bingo. OWEB is the entity that's charged with the responsibility for receiving grant applications, prioritizing grant applications, coordinating the grant applications on the landscape, and I think that possibly starts to nibble at the edges of Mr. Beerley's. No, it doesn't. He's not even quite going to go there. The idea is that OWEB is the state agency that's responsible for coordinating the grant application, deciding on the grant application processing, administering the grant applications, granting the grants, etc. OWEB itself, I don't believe, is going to be a direct contractor in any of these activities. I don't see OWEB ever actually doing a project on the ground itself. I see them working to support watershed councils, soil water conservation districts, and private entities, and other interested citizens who bring these projects to OWEB. OWEB does have the charge to try to make all of it fit a larger framework.
It seems to me that it's a little bit different in the budgeting process when we typically say to the agencies, okay, this is your limitations on how you, how many positions you have, what your budget is to run your organization. Whereas here, where we're you know, basically saying, well, you figure out yourself how much you want to spend in running your organization and how much you want to put in grants. That seems to be different than for asking other agencies.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, actually, we're directing them on the page one. We're giving them a limitation of about $2.3 million for operational expenses, and saying that you have available to you $26.6 million for grants. The $26.6 million cannot be used for operational expenses. It can only be used for grant projects as approved by the OWEB process.
I think it's back to my original point of them saying, if you're saying that how we, you know, fund, if you OWEB wanted to fund ecoregions or NHACs, that would be out of the grant monies, and I would think that OWEB would be the appropriate entity, it seems like, to do the eco-regions process and have the courses on it. You know.
Well, and I guess the missing piece there is that there'd be an application from an entity that wanted to do an eco-regions project, and they would make that application to the OWEB board, make the appropriate arguments, and if the OWEB agreed that that was an appropriate activity, then the funding would be approved by the OWEB board for the ecoregions project, but OWEB itself would not conduct the ecoregions project.
And there's plenty of room to debate that and not enough time in terms of
that's
a good or not a good idea.
We're at impasse.
Mr. Rocco, the time grows short. We're under obligation for staff. We would continue this hearing. I guess that's the way, the appropriate way to do that.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would suggest finishing up this portion of it at least, and in the next few minutes, and then.
Let's do that, and we'll stay until we're called.
I've got a guess. We're not going to vote on today.
That was intentional that we'd move the bill. It's just that because of the delay, we didn't have time to finish.
So the answer to my question is?
Is if we finish this, then the will of the committee to move the bill, we'll move the bill.
Okay.
Item number three is the Restoration and Protection Research Fund. This, we're recommending providing a $1 lottery funds limitation on this fund. This is the fund that would collect interest earned on all the lottery funds allocated to the various accounts in the agency in the OWEB. And due to the uncertainty regarding the amount of money in that fund, we're recommending establishing a $1 limitation. Item four is provision of $2 million of other federal funds expenditure limitation for OWEB, and this is based on the GWEB experience plus later information from GWEB about what they anticipate for receipt in the 9901 biennium from the federal government. On page three, item five, there are some carry forward and adjustments that need to be made to the OWEB budget from GWEB. First, we're recommending to add language to Senate Bill 5549 that would treat all of the reversion of unspent general fund monies as capital construction resources, and this would provide, there's approximately $6.8 million that GWEB has obligated but has been unable to distribute because of the timing of projects. And by treating these as capital construction, the agency would have a 6-year time frame in order to spend those dollars. Item D, we're recommending disappropriation language be included in Senate Bill 5549 to remove $450,000 that was provided by the Emergency Board for a grant to the Grants Pass Irrigation District. Item C is an increase in other funds expenditure limitation of $1,982,000. The number in the text is incorrect. That's an old number. This is basically carry forward number money from timber taxes and other funds that were received by GWEB during the 97-99 biennium. And then finally, for carry forward, we need to establish a lottery fund expenditure limitation for $485,000 of lottery funds that were initially allocated in the 93-95 biennium under the Watershed Health Program to GWEB. In response to some of Senator Corcoran's concerns about maintaining the legal use of these funds, we're recommending inclusion of a budget note that would direct all agencies receiving these funds to make sure that they're using them for eligible purposes, and also reminding agencies that they are going to be subject to an audit conducted by the Secretary of State as required under the constitutional amendment. We're recommending inclusion of a budget note to direct OWEB to consider setting aside about $3 million at least for fish screening programs. These would be done in conjunction with the Department of Fish and Wildlife Fish Screening Program, and the funding could be used as a potential match for federal funds that are currently being discussed in Congress for earmarked for fish screen activity in the Pacific Northwest. We need to make some other changes to Senate Bill 5549.
which are identified, amending Measure 66 lottery funds expenditure limitation language in the state police appropriation bill, which is House Bill 5043. The language there was incorrect because of, at that time, there was no information on how the mechanism would be used to allocate these funds, so that needs to be changed. Item B is to include Measure 66 lottery funds expenditure limitation for the Department of Forestry because their budget has already been passed out. And in addition to that, there needs to be an other funds limitation addition, which is not included on your memo, but needs to be added, of other funds of $252,951 for the State Department of Forestry, and this represents the harvest tax component of the steelhead supplement positions that were authorized in, that will be authorized in Senate Bill 5549. And finally, there needs to be some language added that would provide OEB direction on what course to take should there be lottery revenue shortfalls different from the amounts allocated under this measure.
Question. Representative King.
On the $3 million for the budget note for the fish screening, how come we're doing that in a budget note as versus making that a line item? How come we're not just doing that corporation? That's what it's for.
Mr. Chair, Representative King, the budget note was the option was used. The option is, there are two options. You could direct that money to be provided, allocated to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for fish screening activity, or the option was recommended to take a budget note approach since we were trying to refrain from directing uses of that grant fund, specific uses that were not able to be reviewed by the Watershed Enhancement Board outside of the state police vehicle costs and the weed control grant money, which would be going to the state weed control, or the state weed board in conjunction with the Department of Ag. That's the only reason for that.
And further, we expect there to be huge interest in completing fish screening projects that are mandated at irrigation districts and hydropower applications and in water withdrawal for irrigation. That's one of the key things that has been identified throughout the Oregon plan is the lack of adequate fish screening initiative. So we think $3 million is probably just a fraction of the dollars that are needed, but rather than directing that appropriation for projects that we don't know, it can't identify at this point, it just said at a minimum $3 million should be available. At the other end of the biennium, I expect they'll have many more dollars in applications for fish screening projects than the $3 million.
This is your
question.
The majority of those screens have been identified by Fish and Wildlife, just like the funding.
Exactly. So the project there, it's needed. We expect irrigation districts and cooperators, landowners, to make the application through their watershed centers for those dollars. But we didn't want to order this priority ahead of others that the in statute. So we put a budget note together. Representative Mitchell?
Fair and clarification. I heard you say that this would also fund screening at hydroelectric facilities. I would hope that this funding is not coming out of this budget for hydroelectric.
No, but there could be cost share programs with the Bonneville Power Administration for any number of diversions, and there's some micro hydro and other projects that are out there that would be in the screening. But I wouldn't expect this to be on the scale that you may be referring to. Other questions? Mr. Beerley, I've been rereading your memo. If you'd like to come up and we can further discuss it, and then it'd be the chair's intention, if we have the votes to do it, to move these bills.
OEB is ordered by the statute to establish clear priority, and I don't know, your memo seems to indicate that we would take legislative action to require those priorities to be set or to fund those priorities. I guess my question is,
Senator Curry,
$2.4 million established for operational expenses for OLEB and the charge for them to interact with the agencies. I guess I'm not understanding why the guidance for Watershed Council isn't going to happen.
Senator Curry, the response to that is that the language in the proposed amendment 3225 appears to provide on the surface an expansion of the types of applications that can be funded. I think there is a legal uncertainty when the specific project under that language talks about watershed assessments as it relates to a project, monitoring as it relates to a project, whether or not we could fund applications. For example, we have a very effective integrated water quality monitoring effort going on in the Grand Ronde Basin, where they're not monitoring a project. They're looking at changes in water quality through time, and we've been cost-sharing the funding on that for some time. And so the question is whether or not the language in the amended version would allow us to continue that sort of funding that provides local individuals with information that they could use in making their decisions about what's most appropriate in their watershed. Secondarily, we've invested...
Can we stop this? Are we... I guess the question is the definition of project. Is that what I'm hearing?
The question is the definition of capital expenditures.
Okay.
And whether it allows us to fund a broader type of activity than something that is directly related to a project.
So I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the way the amendment is processed, that you could not do a basin-wide water monitoring project and fund it with
based on the language of the amendment, I would feel that I would be in difficult terrain to fund a project that conducted a watershed assessment that wasn't related to a project that conducted a basin-wide baseline water quality monitoring.
I guess the is that based on information that you're giving or that you're being given by the Attorney General's office or a legal counsel?
No, it is not. It is based on a cursory reading, and we have not had legal advice on that question. I think that there is likely that proponents of the measure would take us to task if we did fund out of the capital expenditure portion of the grants those kind of efforts that they view as operating expenses.
Because I thought we made great pains in the drafting of 3225 to make sure that monitoring was a key component.
There has been a great deal of discussion. That's why this is of critical nature here, is that if, in fact, the narrow interpretation of the language of capital expenditure carries forward, then we do have a serious difficulty. If that is not the case, then I need to back off and find something else to do.
Well, that's encouraging. I guess the issue of the discussion revolved around the definition of data,
whether data was, in fact, depreciable, whether it was a product, whether it could, that monitoring would produce a product that data sets were in fact fit within the definitions.
That LC here.
Well, and maybe we need to get to that. We're really anxious to get after this. Mr. Freely, I don't know how to answer your question. We spent months debating that issue. To this point, I'm not uncertain at all about the idea that monitoring is a key component. And your question is whether or not it can be taken from 65%.
Absolutely. That is the central point of my concern.
Well, I'm glad I've apprehended it. You don't have a problem with monitoring in connection with a project. That's not the issue. The question you have is monitoring for just the pure sake of the collection of data.
Monitoring is whether conditions have changed through time based on employment or investment in watershed restoration.
And I guess for
assessment of watershed condition to determine if, in fact, what's most appropriate to be done.
Okay, well, why wouldn't we be able to describe the monitoring in terms of a project that fits the definition?
does a project always have to be bricks and mortar or people messing about in string? Or can it be something that is less corporeal, like the collection of data for comparative purposes?
Corporeal.
As I drive by State Street and look at the state prison on a regular basis, I am concerned about us being clear about how we, what we do about these resources, because
this is purely a civil matter, I assure you.
If in fact there isn't, I think we need to have this resolved. I'm not sure if we can do it right now, but I'd be glad to work at any point in time to get this
in a professional capacity over the next 5 to 7 years.
Or 2 or 3 minutes.
Is it your intention to pass this budget out today?
It is.
Mr. Chair, I have a great deal of difficulty with that. I think there's several issues that we've brought up today, from the aquatic weed to the fish screening to this issue, which would be very premature to send us out this time, and I'm not interested in sending the budget out that we get right back again.
Okay. Mr. Spiro, that was the first issue. Let's assume that we have at least a concern that has to be addressed with in terms of the definition of project. What was the other issue?
That was a fundamental issue. The issue is whether or not we can provide grants for what we traditionally see as operating the outreach, the assessment, and monitoring elements of a Florida Watershed County, or Stormwater Conservation District. And that cuts to the heart of whether it's capital expense or operating expense.
Mm-hmm.
And we have consistently interpreted that those activities as operating expenses rather than capital expenses. And what we see is that we have a very generous budget on the capital expense side. There is nothing that hasn't been allocated on the operating expense side that would be available for grants to Soil and Water Conservation District, Watershed Council, etc. And that's the concern.
Thank you. Any questions for Spirit?
D.B. Crockett, yes. Jesse Alamo, deciding what to call. Yes, and Jerry Thompson can do this. You can't do that, okay? Jerry Thompson knows how to do this. He's a fisherman. You got to go like this or like this. Well, I don't think you have the votes right now. They're going to have to bring somebody else into the house. Can we do the math here, Gino?
Well, Mr. Chair,
I've got a remonstrance here today. The reason I came...
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yeah, I came down here. You don't see Ken Singh, I thought you were breaking the budget. We're just having a leadership meeting and getting chewed out because we're not getting any budgets out. This is the committee that's slowing down the process of getting out of this building.
We are at
spot. I think you have to go through the week. We're going through the weekend anyway, in ways and means. So if it will help, I know all of you work very hard on this. I'm not one of them. And I am having compassion for the group. If you need another day for a hearing or what have you, to maybe add some things or whatever in the process, I'm going to get my head cut off. But I think it makes a little bit of sense. This hasn't been an easy issue.
Those in favor of watching Coach's head cut off?
Those willing to assist me a lot of head cut off.
Well, I
hope
we're going for a continuation, so what we're going to do is continue this over till tomorrow, and that explodes Mr. Rocco's schedule and extends our legislative session for at least a 24-hour period, and it's your fault, Mr. Coach.
Jingle bells. I'm going to summarize a few of the concerns that we have about the budget package. Time, of course, is the same for these issues. I think that is really important that we try to deal with that. And beyond that, we'll discuss with the other folks.
Senator, in regard to aquatic weeds, you want to state your concern.
I'm sure there's a bill out there, 131-132, I recall. And
to deal with that, and also deal with the funding package, and you have that within your committee somewhere. But if I could rip off some money someplace, I'd be happy to check.
I think we're constrained to the framework that we have for 66 plus that. Okay. The concern is if there's an under allocation for aquatic leave.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Messerly, your concerns?
Make sure I first want to say that it's not my intention to stall this process. I'm willing to come in tonight or come in early tomorrow morning or whatever it takes to get this thing online. I do think we're trying to jam this through too fast. There's a lot of questions that I'm hearing. My other concerns besides the aquatic problem, which I don't think is a big problem to fix, I think we can handle that very easily. But the fish screening is another issue, and I think we can resolve the issue with Mr. Bearden. And it's much better to do it now as we're dealing with the budget, but they're just trying to resolve it and install everything during the interim.
Okay. And fish screening, in regard, now we have a $3 million budget notice, but that is the issue that you're interested in dealing with
now, and also whether it goes direct or whether we put it through the OLED.
Okay. What were the other issues?
I think there is aquatic.
Okay, we've got aquatic. We fish screening at restaurant King.
Well, my concerns were connected to what fish screening is.
That doesn't surprise me. So we have Mr. Bearden's concern is that the 15% administration doesn't leave discretionary dollars available for the OM committee for allocation of funding to administrative functions. And that has to deal with definitions, Mr. Gurley. I assume you're going to be available to have a detailed, if not passionate, discussion with legislative fiscal about the definitions and utilization of funding and who depends who and whether or not it is civil or criminal.
Mr. Chair, if I could footnote that.
Footnote?
That, I feel we should specify the funding for NHAC and for the...
NHAC?
For the National Heritage Advisory Council and the Eco Region. I think that is specified in the bill to accomplish that. So I think it should be an item versus an eligibility.
Those can be discussed in terms of what did and what didn't get funded. Okay. Representative Jensen.
Mr. Chair, it seems to me that there's been considerable backsliding in relationship to people that began to look at this. It was my understanding as we went through this entire 3225 process that we were placing great responsibility at the local level, and it seems now that we've got our fingers on the money that we're less likely or less inclined to carry that responsibility out, and I would hope as we, and I don't have any objection to further discussions, and I think it is better to have those discussions now than just to have them perhaps later, but I would hope as we look at the next hearing on this, we might keep what our original intentions might have been in mind.
Representative, to that question or that comment, we tried to combine almost all of the directions to the administrative portion and leave as much as possible the discretion entirely in the OS hands for grant administration. We did do some dollar allocations in the 65% for operational expenses for OS, which is appropriate. But the rest of the money was exactly as you pointed out, to be focused on the local level. And I think it is a matter of trust, that you trust people to do the right thing at the ground level.
My comment was not a reflection on where we are to this point. My comment was in relationship to the discussion that we've been
having. I agree, sir. Thank you very much. We'll get to you last December.
I figured that.
You can go off on the will of the people in a moment.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I wasn't going to do that, but that's a good
idea. It is, sir. You have the floor.
Well, because I'm a Democrat, I know you don't care about my input and concerns about this thing, so I want to preface it with that. But the fact of the matter is...
Senator Perkin, I think you've got a lot of input and a lot of impact on this.
Thank you so much.
And in this process. Right?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. But I do think that the National Heritage Advisory Council is a major issue, and
And I do agree with Carno on the aquatic. I just think that you're creating, you know, we were told at the beginning of the session there wasn't going to be any Christmas, there wasn't going to be a Christmas tree. Now what we're finding out is that we have a whole plantation of them. And this 3225 is just turning into one of those, and I just think we ought to be real careful.
That is precisely what we're trying to avoid. Thank you for your input, Senator Corcoran. Members, undoubtedly we will be revisiting this issue tomorrow morning. And between now and then, I think what we need to do is have some discussion. So tomorrow morning we will intend to have these issues resolved and move this bill.
So we're in continuation.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely.